Monday, September the 9th, and right now you are tuning in to the John Gibson Premium Podcast, but you're saying to yourself, that's not John Gibson's voice. No, it's not. Matter of fact, it's Cameron's voice. And you scratch your head and you think, who the hell is Cameron? Why is he on John Gibson's podcast on Monday? Well, first of all, John is out. He's out on today and he's out tomorrow. And I am a loyal listener from many, many years back. Some of you guys may know me. I am the lead singer of a rock and roll band called the Velcro Pygmies. I've been a fan of John since he was on Fox News. I go back to the days of Christine Bob and Angry Rich. Whenever John left Fox and he started his own radio program, I was somewhat involved in the development of that. And over the years, myself and the guys in the Velcro Pygmies have become close personal friends of John and Susan's. In my profession, which is entertainment, I spend a lot of time on stage talking and rambling and saying mindless things. And so John reached out to me and said, hey, Cam, I'm going to be off for a couple of days. What do you think? Would you mind filling in for me on the podcast? And I reluctantly have agreed to do this. It's not something that I do. So those of you out there that are passing judgment right now, honestly, I don't care because this isn't what I do. I'm helping out a friend. Secondly, if you notice, there's no fancy music. I don't have a clip service, so I'm not going to be editing in any type of clips from politicians or media types. Matter of fact, I'm not going to be analyzing the news because that's why I listen to John. Just like you do, I listen to John so that I do not have to analyze the news. I listen to what he has to say, and it helps form my opinion. Now, anybody that does know me also knows that I am slightly deeper than, say, your typical musician, and I do follow politics. I do follow the news because that is sort of like my sport. I don't follow basketball or baseball or football, much to Josh's dismay. I don't know anything about the Eagles, but I do enjoy politics, and mainly because of the strategies that are involved. I don't follow politics necessarily because I feel like a politician can change my life, because our system is so big and the wheels are so large and they turn so slow that literally it is difficult for any one politician or one political party to truly have a profound effect on my life. So I am currently sitting in a hotel room in Mansfield, Texas, which honestly is not that far from the Gibson Ranch, which I have visited. I have been there. I'm proud to say that I have been there. So this podcast is originating from an area not too far from where it originates every single day. Now you're asking yourself, well, why should I listen to this asshole? Sorry, John. Why should I listen to this asshole? Well, I don't know, and maybe you shouldn't. But you're paying $3 plus a month in order to listen to this podcast, and so why not? Why not listen, keep listening to this asshole and see what he has to say? Now, most of what I'm going to do today is going to be something that is going to be kind of hallelujah chorus type, where you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. Because we, most of us that listen to this podcast are of a like mind. However, there is something that I would like to address, and I haven't really heard many people talking about it. And so I thought maybe my viewpoint on this might be of interest to some of you, and maybe it won't. If it's not, you can turn it off. You see what I'm saying? The choice is yours. That's fine. We're free Americans. You don't have to listen to this asshole in this rock and roll band ramble on about what he thinks about things. Okay, so with that little introduction, I guess I will get into sort of the content section of what I would like to talk to you guys about today. I've noticed that recently the political climate within mainly the Democratic Party It's somewhat in upheaval. And people are always talking, even John talks about AOC and the squad and all of the lunatics that are currently running for president. And the outrageous ideas of the Green New Deal and the gun control stuff and the way that it appears that the Democratic Party just has this belief that they can take over everybody's lives and people say, oh my God, I mean they're going to self-destruct. How in the world could they do this? Well, here's what I think. I think that much of this is by design. Why would I think that? Well, it goes back to my belief that if you want power in this country, power does not lie in the seat of the presidency. Power lies in the leadership of Congress. I have said for years and years and years that there is not a nickel's worth of difference between Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan. There's no difference in Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell. They are leaders within our Congress. They are the legislators. They are not term limited. They can be there forever. And that's when you can truly create power. Whenever you are behind the scenes, controlling the decisions that are made. Now, sure, maybe you don't get the fame that a president gets, but you certainly get the power. So, follow me here. Follow my logic, please, if you don't mind. Donald Trump gets elected. Nobody expected that. Hell, John Gibson didn't expect that. John Gibson moved to France because he did not believe that Joe Q. Public, people like myself, would vote for a guy like Donald Trump. Someone that was outside the establishment, someone that although was a billionaire, seemed to be more like me than any other politician that I had ever seen. I have often said as well, just like the similarities that Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell share, all of the presidents share the same similarity. For instance, Barack Obama has more in common with George Bush than Barack Obama or George Bush have in common with any of us. We cannot perceive, comprehend, relate what it is like to be the president of the United States and to be groomed to be that way. We look at a guy like Donald Trump and we see somebody, hey, you know what? That's Donnie from the block. He did okay. He made $1 billion, but he's just like me. He thinks like me. He's a common sense guy. So Donald Trump rolls into Washington. He did not threaten any political party. Although he ran as a Republican, he's not threatening the Democratic Party. He's not threatening the Republican Party. No, he is threatening something much more sacred. Donald Trump is threatening the establishment. If I had sound bites, I would add a bit of bum, bum, bum in there right now. So you'll have to imagine that. Donald Trump is threatening the establishment. That is far more scary to someone like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Mitch McConnell. Why? Because he is revealing to them, or to us, excuse me, he is revealing to us and making obvious that the things that are happening in Washington are not necessarily in our best interest, and it makes no difference from which side they come because it's always the same. When you are a congressman, when you are a senator, and you make it to Washington, helping people in your district and in your state, that is not your goal. Your goal is staying there. Your goal is keeping that power. Now, if you happen to help someone in your district or in your state in the process, that's just a benefit, but that's not the goal. Well, Donald Trump rolled up in there and he was upsetting the status quo. You hear everybody talking about, oh my God, the normal, this is normal, and he's upsetting the norms. I don't believe that I ever recall there being any norms written in the Constitution. I think that we wanted a president that was presidential in a way that average Americans perceive what being presidential is. So many of us look at our leaders and we want them to have balls. We want their diplomacy to be based on strength. And we saw that with Donald Trump. And I think that many of us gravitated to that. That felt good. It felt good to have someone that wasn't going to apologize. It felt good to have somebody that was going to tell it like it is. It felt good for somebody that was going to stand up to all of the people that had been telling us we were wrong. We didn't matter. Now, I digress a bit. So in the last election, a lot of new faces showed up. And AOC, she has kind of become the face of that new generation that has rushed into power. She says outrageous things. She does outrageous things. And people are like, oh my God, they are going to, you know, if we don't stop this now, they are going to change our way of life and they're going to wreck our economy and blah, 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 blah. Well, here's what I think, everybody. I think that is by design. And it goes back to the fact that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, the lifers, if you will, they know that they're going to be there. They know that even if Donald Trump is reelected, it's just 4 more years, and they'll still be there. And they can survive it because the system is designed, as I said earlier, to move slow. They know that they can outlast anybody. And if they will just be patient, everything will return back to status quo. So, within the Democratic Party specifically, and this could potentially happen in the Republican Party just as easy. But right now, in the Democratic Party, if you stand back and you observe what is happening, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are allowing these individuals to hang themselves because they need to get rid of them. They want them out there. They want them to be outrageous. They want all of the Democratic candidates for president to be as outrageous as possible. They are encouraging that behavior. Why? Because they know that it is not going to work and it is not going to resonate with the general population of America. So what's going to happen? Well, here's my prediction. I'm not going to move to France if it's wrong. I apologize. Don't have the money to do that. But here's what I believe, and maybe after the election, we can go back and maybe John can pull some sound bites from this podcast and say, you know what, that idiot in the rock and roll band, he was wrong. Or maybe the idiot in the rock and roll band is like many of you. And I live in the real world on the real streets, and I see real things, and I apply real worldness, if that's even a word, to my life and to politics. So here's what's happening, I think. I think that Nancy Pelosi is allowing her caucus to get out there and get crazy. Because ultimately, the Democrats are going to reject that. Why? Because Democrats like to drive cars. Democrats have absolutely no interest in losing their job to a over-exploding immigration policy. Democrats are human beings just like Republicans are. They raise their kids. They want to get paid. They want to go fishing. They own guns. They do all of the things that all Americans do. The media paints Democrats differently because that works in their narrative. But that's not the reality. Look around you. Look around you at any restaurant, at any event. Go to a concert. Can you pick out the Republicans? Can you pick out the Democrats? Chances are you can't, because they look just like you. There are fringe. The fringe is out there. And that is what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are allowing to get all the airtime, because they want to weed them out. So here's what's going to happen. Those individuals are going to lose in the next election because of their outrageous positions on things that are impossible and things that nobody cares about. The average Democrat is not losing sleep because hurricanes happen. Guess what? They've happened every year since the beginning of time. Average Democrats are not losing sleep because it's the hottest summer or the coldest winter. They're not buying into that. That's just how it is. Average Democrats enjoy going to the dealership and buying a pickup truck. They enjoy a V8. They enjoy a sports car. And so the things that are coming out of this fringe segment of the Democratic Party, they are resonating with the people that the media puts on TV or in the newspaper, but it's not resonating with the folks on Main Street. I can assure you that. So those people are going to lose. Now, what about the presidential? What about what's coming up? Well, I believe Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have already decided to accept the fact that Donald Trump is going to be reelected. He's going to be reelected not by Republicans, but by Democrats and independents. Why? Because people enjoy prosperity. People like to have a job. People like to have money in their pockets. And when they go into that voting booth, which God bless our founding fathers for coming up with secret ballot, when they go into that voting booth wearing the Bring Back Obama t-shirt, and they stand in there and they think, wow, you know, these last 4 years, I bought a new car. I was able to take a cool vacation, bought that big screen TV over the fireplace that I've always wanted. And they're going to hit that lever, and that lever is going to be for Donald Trump. Because as Americans, we want to keep the train headed in the same direction. You don't like his tweets? Whatever. You don't like what he spouts off about when he's standing in front of the helicopter doing a spur-of-the-moment press conference? You don't like those things? Yeah, that's fine. That's not how people vote. People vote on things that actually impact their lives. And that's what ultimately impacts our lives. So you've got the squad, and you've got these other people that have these this ideology of, oh my God, we're all going to get together. We're going to hug, and we're going to kumbaya, and we're going to save the planet, and we're going to do all of these amazing things, and we're all going to have wind farms and solar panels on the back of our house, which, by the way, do you guys realize, and I think that this listening audience is probably smart enough to realize, that in order to power your house with solar energy, you would have to have a solar structure that is probably three times the size of your house. How's that going to work? Not very well. Okay? And maybe if John lets me do this again, I can go on here and rant, and I can ramble about this electric car movement, which I also have a solution to. Anyway, let me go back. I'm getting carried away, folks. I apologize. So let me go back and explain to you what they're looking at concerning the upcoming presidential election. They don't care. Nancy Pelosi doesn't care who gets elected president, as long as she gets to stay speaker. And even if she doesn't care, because she will still be the minority leader. And that's leadership. And again, there's no difference between her and the Speaker of the House. They are the same. They put on a good face, and they fight, and they do it for the cameras. But behind the scenes, They're all the same. So she's looking at these whack jobs that are running for the presidential nominee on the Democratic side. And she's like, that's right. Chuck, let's give them enough rope and they will hang themselves. And they've got poor old Joe Biden. Poor old Joe Biden in there, and he's just kind of doting around, and he's making mistakes, and he's doing all this kind of stuff. But guess what? He's still the leader right now. And that is part of their design. Because as Kamala Harris and Buttigieg and Beto, as those guys go out there and they spout the most ridiculous stuff and everybody's scratching their head and rolling their eyes and they're not getting any traction at all from anybody. Nobody cares about their ridiculous positions on these things. Nancy and Chuck are sitting back and they're going, yep, let's just get through the election. And then they are going to get to a point to where, regardless of who gets nominated, whether it's Joe, and that would be fine with them, or whether it is Buttigieg, and then they go into the general election, and they get crushed by Donald Trump, and the squad loses, and all of the other fringe candidates get blasted, not only by potential Republicans, but other more moderate Democrats. And at that point, Nancy and Chuck are going to look at their caucuses and they're going to say, all right, everybody, we gave you the chance. We gave you the opportunity to be outrageous. We gave you the opportunity to be idealistic. We gave you the opportunity to make big changes, and you're going to fix everything by taking over control of the population of the United States. And you know what? It was rejected. It was rejected by the American people. And now y'all need to sit down and shut up and let us show you how to run this place. That is what I predict is going to happen and has been happening. And it is the only way that the establishment Democrats are going to be able to get a handle on their political party again. See, those people have been around. Someone like AOC, she's young, she's idealistic. Oh my God, we're going to save the world. She has no frame of reference. She hasn't been there. She is nothing but a pain in Nancy Pelosi's ass. So how do you get rid of her? Do you come out against her? No. Nancy Pelosi is way too smart for that. Nancy Pelosi knows that she can count on the average American to bring those dogs to heel. And they'll be gone. And someone will get into that position that is more mainstream, more controllable. And then Nancy Pelosi can start to move her agenda again, bit by bit, behind the scenes, not in the media. When things play out in the media, we all know about them. It's not what Nancy Pelosi wants. She doesn't want a loud mouth out there. And so that's why they are letting these people do that. That is why they allowed 20 people to run for president. People are like, why in the world would they do that? Well, I tell you why, because they want to get rid of all of them. Let's take all of these crazy ideas about guns and the economy and free college and Medicare for all and abortion and climate change. Let's get all of those ideas and in one fell swoop, let's get them out there and let's pump them everywhere and get CNN and MSNBC and all the networks involved and let's put it everywhere and let's just make sure that every American knows exactly what these lunatics believe and it will be rejected out of hand and then we can get back to real business. And that's what I predict is happening. I don't know how long this podcast is because I don't have fancy equipment here. I'm literally talking into my phone. I'm talking into my phone. Josh is going to upload it. And anybody that has made it to the end, thank you very much. I want to thank you not only for listening to what I have to say, but listening to what John has to say every day. John Gibson is a fixture from a bygone era. That doesn't mean he's old. Doesn't mean he's outdated. It means he's wise. It means he has information that all of us can use based on his life experience. I listen every single day. I love John's insights. I hope that you guys listen every day too. I hope that everybody on here does what I do. And I share John Gibson with friends because I feel like that there is a perspective that John brings to the world that makes a lot of sense. Regardless of what your political party is, I don't necessarily consider myself a Democrat or a Republican. I am a registered Republican, so I don't want anybody getting up in arms. I consider myself leaning conservative, but probably socially, I'm somewhat liberal or libertarian, I guess you could say. I think that I am an example of everybody, just normal folks. And I think that that perspective and voice is drastically missing from the landscape. I used to watch and listen to Sean Hannity a lot. I don't want to trash Sean, but I used to listen to him a lot, and then it just turned into the Hallelujah chorus. It's just the same thing over and over again. Not a whole lot of common sense. It's just more or less, hey, being vindictive. I think John Gibson brings a real life perspective to the news. And I love him dearly. And I am unbelievably honored that he would even consider me to do something like this. So, John, I know you're in New York. I know that you're talking business. I hope that that is something that all of us as listeners can celebrate with you. If you want to follow the Velcro Pygmies, I would love for you to do that. We're pretty easy. You can search us on Google, Velcro Pygmies, and we pop up. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of that stuff. I hope that you will research what we've been doing. I hope that you will dig a little deeper and see some of the things that we've been doing concerning education, because we're really proud of that. If you want to bitch at John, you can call the bitch box, but you know what? He's not going to listen. He doesn't care that you don't like the fact that Cam is on his podcast. So you might as well just save the dialing time. But I appreciate you listening. I hope that what I had to say today may have made you think one of two things. Huh, that's an interesting perspective. Or, hell yeah, that's kind of the way I've been looking at this too. It has been a pleasure sitting here in my hotel room, recording this into my fancy iPhone. And hopefully Josh can get it posted. Hope you guys have a wonderful Monday, and I will be sharing the listening experience with you on Wednesday when John gets back in town. Thanks, guys. You're listening to the John Gibson Premium Podcast. This is Cameron. Bye.